Today's shir is being dedicated for Zchus for Refuah Shleima for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shir is Masecht Nedarim, Daf Nun, and we will begin on Daf Nun Amar Aleph, three lines from the top. Says the Gemara of Kiva, Eskadish Lei, Barat the Kalba Savua. Two, Rabbi Kiva married the daughter of Kalba Savua. The Gemara Masecht Ksubis, which this piece of Gemara that we're about to begin to learn, we find the same Gemara in Masecht Ksubis, says that the reason Kalba Savua's name was Kalba Savua, because says the Gemara that any kol hanichnas, whoever came into his home, Rav Kekalev would be as hungry as a dog would go out Savua, would go out satiated. He had a home where he hosted people, and whoever came felt very comfortable and was Baruch Hashem given what to eat. He actually did see that those that suggest that Kalba Savua was a descendant of Kalev Ben Yefuna, where we find that the Pasuk in the Gemara Masecht Temura, Daf Tazayin, Amar Aleph discusses this, where the daughter of Kalev Ben Yefuna asked the father, Tnali Bracha, give me a piece of property that brings blessing. Eretz Negev Nisatatani, you gave me a piece of property in the Negev. And Chazal explained, what does it mean when she said, Eretz Negev Nisatani? Bayis Shemenugav Bekol Toiv. It's a place that's missing Toiva. What is a home that's missing Toiva? That there wasn't, you gave me a person that was only a Talmud Chacham. She married a Sneer by Kanas, who was a very great Talmud Chacham, but not a person who was wealthy. It says, Sayyidim Mefarshim, that this request that she made of her father came true many generations later when she married. When Kalev Ben Yefuna had a descendant, the descendant that we're speaking about in our shir today, he had a descendant, Kalba Savua, who, as we just said, was very, very wealthy. Says the Maral, why was he called Kalba Savua? Because he was zoichet to his bracha that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was zoichet to bracha, but that it came savua, it came with soiva v'nachas, it came without any problem. And that is the proof that it was a bracha that came from Shemayim. So says the Gemara again, Rabbi Kiva Skadish L'Rochel, Rabbi Kiva married Barta de Kalba Savua, the daughter of Kalba Savua. Adra Hanom B'Kol Nachsei, and because Kalba Savua was so upset that his daughter married this man who did not have any Torah background, Adra Nabokal Nechse, he made a nether that she shouldn't have any benefit from his assets. Ozlov Insevele, and she anyway married him, Besitva. Then they got married in the winter. And the reason she married him, as we know, is because she saw in Rabbi Kiva wonderful qualities, and therefore she decided this is the man that she wants to marry. Have a gonna be tivna. And they were so poor, they slept in the place where straw was stored, a place that's obviously not a place where normally people sleep. Have a gonna manke be tivna mimazia. And Rabbi Kiva would pull straw out of Rachel's hair that would get caught up there because they slept on the straw. Amalei, and Rabbi Kiva said to his wife, Yehavali, if I had the ability, Reminalach Yushlaim de Dhava, there was a very expensive piece of jewelry that was called Yushlaim de Dhava. It looked like the skyline, a piece of, like a tiara, that looked like the outline of Yushlaim. And he said that wealthy people apparently would have this type of tiara. And he said that when we will be rich in Mitzvah Shem, I will give you instead of having to pull straw out of your hair, I will put on your hair this Yerushalayim, the Dehava. The Yerushalmi actually explains that they were so poor that Rachel, Rabbi Akiva's wife, had to sell her hair in order to have income. And he was telling her that now we're unfortunately in such a situation that you need to sell your hair. But amid Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us, and I will put on your hair this Yerushalayim, the Dehava. The Masha asks that the Gemara says that after Yerushalayim fell to the hands of the Romans, there was a decree that we aren't allowed to wear anymore a Yerushalayim the Dehava. So how could Rabbi Akiva suggest that he's going to give his wife a Yerushalayim the Dehava? So Masha explains that the Isser of a woman wearing the Yerushalayim the Dehava is only, explains the Masha, in a time of the getting married. A kala is not supposed to wear Yerushalayim d'Hava. He said that I would give it to you not as a kala. Others say that there are different types of Yerushalayim d'Hava. There's a Yerushalayim d'Hava that's worn on the hair, on the forehead. That's not allowed to be worn. But there was a different Yerushalayim that was worn as a pin. That Yerushalayim that Hava was allowed to, that was allowed to be worn. The Ben Yehuda asks, why does the Gemara use the word Raminalach? I will put on you, for not Avdinalach. So he explains that what Rabbi Akiva meant to say, that he himself will put it on her hair. Now he's busy pulling straw out of her hair, but he said the day will come, that I will be able to take your hair and put on it this tiara. Asad Milio. So Leo came and he wanted to console them for their situation. And Bilam Kanosha. And Leo looked like he was a regular individual. For Kakara Baba. And he was knocking on the door. Amla Havle ported the Hevna. He asked, give me please some straw. The Yeldasa Itasi. My wife just had a baby, Vilesle Midam Laguna, and I don't have anything to give her that she could rest on. Amro Rabbi Akiva Lintze, Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, look, Chazi Gavra, look at the situation that there's somebody that is even less than us. The Filu Tivna Layisle, he doesn't even have straw. And of course, I saw the Mefarshim ask if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Rabbi Akiva and his wife feel better, if Eliyahu wanted to make that, Eliyahu Navi wanted that they should feel better, so why don't he just give them money? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give them whatever he wants. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly could have given them money. Why was it necessary that they should be told this story, and through that they should feel better? So the Mefarshim explained that as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, Rabbi Akiva was destined for greatness, to be the great Rabbi Akiva. And one cannot grow in Liman HaTorah when he is with Gashmius. Gashmius is not the way how we grow in Avodas Hashem and in Liman HaTorah. So if they would have just given them money, that would have prevented them from growing in their Avodas Hashem. And the whole point here was that they should use this opportunity, where even though now they didn't really have too much money, that they will grow in their Avodas Hashem and their Liman HaTorah. And therefore, there was no other option other than just sending them this message this way, that they should feel better. Which, of course, opens up a very, very important discussion amongst the Paiskim. And that is, here Eliyahu Navi said something which wasn't actually true. Eliyahu Navi didn't have a child. This whole story never happened. It was only said to make Rabbi Akiva and his wife feel better. And the Paiskim discuss, is one allowed to say something which is not 100% true in order to make somebody feel better? So certainly the Paiskim say that if as a result, if the saying something which is not true will result in a person doing something that wouldn't have been done unless he heard this something that's not true, or you take advantage of somebody by saying something that's not true, that of course is unacceptable under any circumstances. The question that comes up is where, I guess, what's called a white lie, like Al Gemara. Nobody was harmed by this untruth. If anything, we can make an argument that it was a way for Rabbi Akiva to grow in his learning. And therefore, under those circumstances, an argument could be made that somebody could say something which is not true. The Sefer Chassidim says that the heter that we see that somebody is allowed to say something that's not true is in a case like in Al Gemara to avoid somebody from being embarrassed. In a situation where something like this is being said to avoid somebody's embarrassment, there's an argument, and nobody will really be harmed by this. There's an argument that could be made that something like this may be said. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva's wife tells Rabbi Akiva, Zil have a beirav, go to yeshiva. Ozal, and he went, and he learned for Tate Asushanim. He learned for 12 years. Kamed Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua. He studied by Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua for 12 years. Lemishlam Tate Surishanin. After 12 years, Kosla Beisei, he comes home. Shama Manachuri Beisei, and he's standing outside his home, and he's here, the Kamalei Chad Rosh Ladvisa, one bad person was saying to his wife, Shapa Avad Lavich, your father, by making this nether that you may not have any benefit from him, did the right thing. Why? Chada Deloidamalach. Rabbi Akiva was an inappropriate match to you because he comes from a family which is not equal to your type of family. As we just said earlier in our shir, the Rachel, Kalba Savua, was from a Mishpacha Meyuchesas. They came from Kol Ben Yefuna, and Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gerim. So he said that the families don't match. Void. Shafkas Amos Chayas Kulishnin. He left you alone all these years. Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva said, Itzolus Ladali, were he to listen to me, Lahavatatus Surnishnin Machronaisa, I would allow him to remain away from home for another 12 years to learn. Amar, so Rabbi Akiva said, Hoy Vyavsli Rashusa, since I see she gives me permission to stay away, I'm going to go back to the yeshiva as she just indicated. Hada Oslo, so he went back to the yeshiva and have a tati sarishun achronaisa, and he remained there for another 12 years. Also, and then of course there's a question. He was already there for 12 years, so he was already there by the doorsteps of his home. So why don't you just go in for a moment and say hello to your wife? And then go back. So there's a famous word from Chaim Shmulevitz that 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. 12 plus 12, meaning Chaim Shmulevitz used to explain that one of the keys to success in learning Torah is to learn Torah without interruption. And if he would have gone into his home, it would have been an interruption in his learning. And that is not the way one grows in his learning. That's what Chaim Shmulevitz very famously used to say. 12 plus 12, the 12 years and the 12 years do not equal 12, 24. And in fact, the Paiskim, based on this Gemara, the Chavetz Chaim discusses where I overhear somebody saying that the money that somebody owes me, he doesn't owe me. He's Michael, he forgives me. Is that to be considered that indeed he forgave me for the money because I heard him oversaying it, or the fact that he didn't say to me directly does not mean that he forgave me for the money. Our Gemara, says the Chavetz Chaim, seems to be a raya that you don't have to hear it directly. Rabbi Kiva did not hear his wife directly tell him that you don't have to come into the house. He only overheard this conversation between Rabbi Kiva's wife and her neighbor. And therefore, it's still considered as if he heard it. The Chidah says that it's not a raya. And the reason the Chidah says it's not a raya is because Rabbi Kiva knew his wife. And Rabbi Kiva knew that when he overheard his wife saying that as far as I'm concerned, he could go back to learn, he knew that what she was saying was 100% accurate. And that she meant it, even though she didn't say it to him directly. It's no raya that in another situation, just because I overhear somebody saying it, but he didn't hear it directly, that means that he was meichel me. Moreover, the Pesach can say from here, that as much as there's an obligation to support loim de Torah, to support that people who learn Torah, but there's a special point in supporting somebody who learns Torah mitoichat chak. Here we find that Rabbi Kiva learned Torah under very, very difficult situations, and his wife learned Torah supported that learning under these very difficult situations. She didn't see her husband for 24 consecutive years. We see the special point that there is, the special point that there is in learning Torah in this way. Says the Gemara. So now he came back. He spent another 24 years in the yeshiva. And now when he comes back, now he comes back with 24,000 Talmidim. And Rekiva, the great leader of Torah in his generation, arrives in town, and everybody comes to greet him. Vafhi comes lemaifik lape, and so too did she come out to greet him. Amalei Harushai, and this neighbor who we already found earlier in our shir, acted in this inappropriate manner. Amalei Harushai v'atlahecha, how could you go out to greet Rabbi Kiva? You don't even have a nice dress to wear to greet the Gadol Hador. Amalei Yodei Tzadik Nefesh Behamtai. Rabbi Kiva knows who I am, and Rabbi Kiva knows how much I suffered for his learning. And I saw other mefarshim explain that she was saying Rabbi Kiva doesn't get impressed from a nice dress. Asalas chuzilei, and she came to see her husband after all these years. Kometcha l'rabbanan, the talmidei of Rabbi Kiva, who did not know who she was, tried to push to the side. Amalahim, and Rabbi Kiva said to them, Hanichala, leave her, Shali v'shalchem, everything that I and you have achieved, Shalahu, all comes from her. She is the source for our, she gave me the support, and she gave me the ability to learn, let her be. The Mashah explains that what she meant to say was, Yedei tzadik nefesh behemtai, that the tzaddik knows that I didn't have nice clothing. I lived in the barn with the straw. And even though he promised me that I'm going to have this Irshal Zov, I know that it's not what is important in life. And as the Ben Yoyada goes on to explain, what he meant to say was that, what she meant to say was that the relationship that exists between me and my husband is a different type of a relationship. Says the Gemara, Shama Kaba Savua. So Kaba Savua heard that this great person came to the city, Ozov Itchel Nidre, and he wanted to be Matan Neder. He saw the situation that his daughter was in, and he wanted to be Matan Neder. Vishdre. And Rekiva, he was Matan Neder, and Rekiva was allowed to now have benefit from his assets. So Tosfos in Masechta, the Taz asks, how was Rekiva allowed to be Matan Neder The halacha is that when somebody, when a rav is matan neder, is he can't be matan neder that affects him. And of course, this neder was most relevant to him. So how is a rekiva allowed to be matan neder? So the Taz says in Yerudei Simon Reish Chav Ches Sifkot and Ches that a rekiva took along two people with him besides he himself to be matan neder. But the Shalom the Darim has a whole different approach. Reb Kiva, Taisus, he says, Masechet Ksubos, asks a different question. The halacha is that ein poiskim benoilad, that when somebody comes to be matan neder by a rov, the only way they could come up with a reason to be matan neder, if they say something, well, you should have thought about, I didn't think about this, I should have thought about it. But something that wasn't a possibility at the time of the neder is not a legitimate way to be matan neder. The example that we've mentioned many times in our shiurim is where somebody comes and says that he made a neder that he won't benefit from a certain individual. And he wasn't aware that that individual is going to become a doctor, or that that individual is going to become a cipher whose services he will need. The halacha is that that's not a legitimate way to be matan neder. And the reason why it's not considered a legitimate way to be matan neder is because that person was not a doctor, was not a cipher at the time the neder was expressed. So why over here could he be matan neder because Rekiva became a Talmud Chacham? That isn't a legitimate, that wasn't the situation when the neder was expressed. So Taisus answers a very powerful teretz. Taisus says that anybody who goes to learn is going to become a Talmud Chacham. That's not something that we should assume will not happen. And therefore, he was certain that he's going to be Talmud Chacham. There was no one else that knew better what Rabbi Kiva will end up being than Rabbi Kiva himself. So Rabbi Kiva was the one that was able to say that this is not a situation of Noilat. Says the Gemara, Mitshit Mili Yasser Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva ended up being a very wealthy person, and there were six sources for his fortune. One was Minkalba Savua, the fact that he, as we just learned, had got money for Kalba Savua was his father-in-law. And his father-in-law, after who was Matan Neder, was the one that who gave him a lot of money. So I saw the NLO answers that how was Reb Kalba Savua allowed to give so much money to Rebbe Kiva? So the NLO says that Rebbe Kiva came, as we just learned, with 24,000 Talmidim. And even though the halacha normally is hamavazvis, ayivazvis yoizim mechaimish, that somebody who gives tzedakah should not give more than 20%. When it comes to supporting Torah, when it comes to having a yeshiva that we need to have people who are learning Torah, there we could be more lenient. The next source of his wealth was from Eli the Sfinta. The Kol Sfinta Avdalim Min Eina. What they used to do was they used to make a figure out of wood that looked like a deer, and they used to put it on the boat, on the ship with which they traveled. The purpose of doing so is, as we know, a deer runs very quickly, and this should be a simon, it should be a sign that they should be able to travel quickly to where they were ever trying to go. Zimnachada, and they used to fill up this figure of the deer with gold. Says the Gemara, Zimna Chada, there was once a time, then Shiua, they forgot this deer, Al-Kef Yama, by the beach. Asahu, Vashkechei, and Rekiva came, and he found it, full of the gold. Megavza, the other way he got very rich was because of a different story. The Zimna Chada, Yov, Abba, Zuzil, is funny. One time Rekiva gave 4 Zuz to the sailors. Omle, Aislim, Adam, and he says, bring me something. And the only thing they were able to find was a gavza. they were found a chest in which they would normally keep money. Al Kef Yama, they found this chest by the beach. Asyule, they brought it to him. Amale, Ovid Marana Alai, wait, we didn't find anything else. Ishtakh, and wait till we could maybe find something else. Ishtakh, Tavamoli, Dinri, he found that it was full of coins. The Zimnachad, Tavasfinta, there was once a situation where a boat drowned. The Kule Iskav Amoks Bahu Gavza, and all the people who were traveling on that boat had put their money in this chest. And at that time, Rabbi Kiva found the min desraisa. It was belonged to Yishmaelim, and it was full of this money. I saw the Gemara Masecht Ervin says that Pei Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Kiva mechaber Shirim, and Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas, and that sugya brings from the Ral that Rebbe was mechaber Shirim, was pshat. So he says that Rebbe was a wealthy person. He did not want that people should show him respect because of being the great Talmud Chacham he was. So he would show respect to Talmud Chachamim, to wealthy people. And as we know, Rebbe was also a very wealthy person. Like that, he said, any respect that I'm being given, any honor that I'm being given, is only because of my wealth, not because of my being a Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Kiva Eger means to say the same with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, of course, was the great Talmud Chacham, but he did not want that people should show him honor and respect because of his being a Talmud Chacham. But the reason he wanted them to show him respect was because he was wealthy, and in fact, the Megala Muka says that all of his wealth really came from because of his being a Talmud Chacham. Because the Gemara just teaching us Mishishit Vorim from six things, Rabbi Kiva became so wealthy. The six things, even though the Gemara is expressing all the stories that we're learning, but really, says the Megala Mukas, they represent the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. Somebody who's zoichet to learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings bracha to his life. And the Torah is the source of all bracha, but Rabbi Kiva and Rebbe tried to conceal that because they did not want to have honor from the learning. The next thing that made Rabbi Kiva wealthy, says the Gemara, is from the Matronisa. There was one time Rabbi Kiva and his Talmidim needed money for an important cause. And they went to this wealthy woman to borrow money from her. And she said to Rabbi Kiva, I'm lending you the money, and who will be the guarantors to this loan? She said, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the ocean will be the guarantors that you will pay me back my money. The time to pay back the money came, and Rabbi Kiva that time was not well, and he couldn't pay back the money. So this Matronusa went to the beach, and she said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know that Rabbi Kiva is unfortunately not well, and he doesn't have the ability to come pay back what he owes me. But remember that you agreed to be a guarantor for this loan. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made at that point that the daughter of the Kesar had a bad episode, and she took a chest full of expensive diamonds and jewelry and threw it into the ocean. At that moment, that chest washed up to the beach where the Matronisa was standing, and she took that chest. After a number of days, Rabbi Kiva got better, Baruch Hashem, and he came to pay back the loan that he owed to this woman. And she told him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu already paid back the money that am I owed. And not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give back what is owed, he gave you actually more than it's owed. And she gave Rabbi Kiva all of the excess above what she was owed. And that was one of the ways Rabbi Kiva got wealthy. The next way Rabbi Kiva got wealthy, says the Gemara, is Min Ishta Shel Transpurnas. There was a wealthy man whose name was Transpurnas, and Rabbi Kiva, we find throughout Shas, would have debates with this Transpurnas. And one time he came home, this Transpurnas came home, and he was in a bad mood. And his wife asked him
why are you in a bad mood? So she says, because I always have these debates with Rabbi Akiva, and I'm always embarrassed. So his wife said, please give me permission to make him do a terrible aveira, to do something immoral with me. And it's known that a Kadosh Baruch Hu hates people who act in such a way, and that's why he'll have a downfall. So she went and put on beautiful clothing to try to entice Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva saw her, the Gemara says, he spit, he laughed, and he cried. And she asked him, what is pshat and what you just did? So he told her, two of the things I will explain, and the third not. The reason that I spit, because I know that you, even though you're so beautiful, you come from a tipa serucha. You come from semen, which is, of course, nothing. I cried because you're such a beautiful woman, but ultimately you and everyone else will pass away and you'll end up in the ground. He didn't tell her why he laughed, but the reason he laughed was because he saw Baruch HaKadosh that she ultimately will become a geyrus and she will marry him. But he didn't want to disclose that. So then she asked him, can I do tshuva? So Rabbi Akiva says, anybody could do tshuva. And she became a geyrus, and ultimately she married him. And when she married him, she was a very wealthy person, and she brought into the marriage much money. The sixth way how Rabbi Akiva got wealthy was Ketiyah Bas Shalom. There was a king that hated the Jews and wanted to kill them. And he asked the important people, his advisors, somebody who has a wound on his leg and he's suffering from that wound, what should he do? Should he cut off that leg or should he leave it and suffer? And they told him, it's best if you have such a disease, if you have such a terrible disease in your leg, just get rid of it. And therefore what they were trying to tell him was, if you have this disease in Klal Yisrael called, if you have this disease in your country, of Klal Yisrael, just kill them, eliminate them. And Ketiyah Bas Shalom says to him, there's no point in doing it. Because the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Ki ka'ar baruchas ha-shamayim perashti eschem, that just like the world is so large, Klal Yisrael has been spread out throughout the world. And therefore, he was saying to him, you can't eliminate the Jews, because even if you eliminate the Jews in one place, there still will be Jews in another place. And all you will be identified is as a Malchus Ketua, as a kingdom that's missing part of it. So the king responded, you responded very intelligently. But there was a rule that somebody who is able to answer the king in a way that's smarter than the king has to be killed. The way they would be killed was they would put him into a house full of sand, and he would be buried in the sand until he ultimately expired. So when they took this Ketiyah Bas Shalom to that home, so there was a matronasai that said that since you're going to be killed anyway, shouldn't you become a ger and die as a Jew? So the Gemara, what he did was, he did a circumcision, he did a milah, and he died at that spot. And now he said, I have the proper way, I paid the proper toll, how to come to the Shemayim, how to come to Olam Haba. And as he was dying, he said that all of my assets should be given to Rabbi Akiva. He was obviously a very wealthy man. Says the Gemara of Gamda Yov's Abba Zuzil Sfunai, because we just spoke about a story with sailors, so the Gemara continues to discuss stories of sailors. And the Gemara says, Rav Gamda Yov Abba Zuzil Sfunai, Rav Gamda gave 4 Zuzim to the sailors, Lesuba Medam, that they should buy him for him something, V'loi Ashkechu, but they weren't able to find anything to bring him, Asiule Ben Kupa, what they found was a monkey, Ishtamit, the monkey ran away, and Al-Kharsa and went into some hole. And they went to chase after the monkey. And Chafru Basrei, and they dug to try to catch him. They found the monkey sitting on top of a diamond, Aisinale Kulan, and they brought to Rav Gamda all of the diamonds. They brought to Rav Gamda all of the diamonds that he found because of this monkey. Amalei Bas Kaisel Rav Yishuv ben Chananya. The daughter of the king said to Rav Yishuv ben Chananya, Torah Mefarara, the Torah is so incredible. Bekli Mechor, Rav Yishuv ben Chananya was not a good-looking person. And they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to you, the Talmud Chacham, that doesn't look nice. Doesn't look nice. Amalei, so Rav Yishuv ben Chananya responded to her, Limdi min beis avich, learn from your father. B'man nichin yayin, what do they put wine into when they drink wine in your father's home? Amalei, so she said, B'mani de pachra, they use earthenware. Amalei, kul alma b'pachra, everybody uses earthenware cups. Atem b'mani de pachran, and you too are using those types of cups. It would be only appropriate, she said to them, Ata achisa b'mani de kasav d'hava, that you should put your money, you should put your wine into silver and gold cups. Azlis v'ramas chamra, so she went and she took the wine and put it b'mani de kasav d'hava in silver and gold cups. And the wine spoiled. Wine is best kept in ceramic, in earthenware, not in silver and gold. Amrala, so Rav Yishuv ben Chananya said to her, Afarais Akein, if somebody wants to succeed in learning, they have to not be involved in Gashmius. Says, so she asked him, Vayikish Shapirim Gamirin, aren't there Talmid Chachamim who are very good looking and are still a big Talmid Chachamim? Amalei Rav Yishuv ben Chananya said, I have a Sana, if they would be not good looking, having Gemir and Tfei, they would have even been greater Talmid Chachamim. Of course, this is a difficult Gemara to understand. The Gemara says, the Shufri, the Yaakov Avinu, the beauty of Yaakov Avinu was Meshufri, the Adam Arishan, was from the beauty of Adam Arishan. So we see that Yaakov Avinu was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. So of course, the Mefarshim explain, I saw the Maral discusses this, that when the Gemara speaks about that beauty, it doesn't speak about physical beauty. What it means to say is that he had the beauty of a Kadosh Baruch Hu attached to him. He had the Shekhinah attached to him, like Adam Arishan, who was created by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Divrei Yisrael says, I have a Sani. That Sani also means people who have enemies. I have a Sani. If he would have had enemies, have a Malat Fei. People, sometimes Talmid Chachamim have people who oppose them. And they think that's a terrible thing. And of course, at first glance, it is very terrible. But that Hisnagdus, that we have people who oppose them, is what makes them grow, because that is a way that they are able to overcome all their opposition. And Torah, one of the ways we grow in Torah is when it doesn't necessarily come easy. Another point that I would like to make is it's very interesting that the Klozenberg Rebbe used to be Makbid. He had many beautiful silver bechers, silver cups, in which he could make Kiddush, he could use for the Dalet Kaisis. But he was very careful that at the Seder, that the Dalet Kaisis that he drank, the four cups of wine that he drank by the Seder, he should always drink from a glass, from a glass cup, not from a silver becher. And he would say, because our Gemara says that wine is kept best, actually, when it is in earthenware, not when it's in silver and gold. So of course the question is, if that was what he was trying to accomplish, he should have done so all year round. Why did he only do so by the Seder? So I saw two reasons. And this wasn't really just his minig, It was actually the minig of the Divrei Chaim as well. And the reason that they did this specifically by the Seder and not all year round is because if you put wine, and this is why we all, many people, make Kiddush on a silver cup, in a silver cup, even though our Gemara is teaching us that it should be made in earthenware, the answer is that it's only if the wine is sitting, it's not good if it sits in silver and gold. But if it's only there for a short amount of time, then it's not a concern. The Becher, by the Seder, we poured a cup of wine, and it sits there for a while until we get to drink it. So that's why we shouldn't use a Becher made out of earthenware. But when we make Kiddush or Havdalah on Shabbos, we drink it right away after we pour the wine into the cup. There we're not concerned that's going to get spoiled. Moreover, by the Seder, the Shulchan Aruch tells us we should preferably use red wine. And because that reminds us of all of the Nisim that happened in Mitzrayim. Since we want to use red wine by the Seder, we want to be able to see the wine. So if we're going to have the wine in a silver cup, we won't be able to see the wine. And when we want to see the red wine, that's why we put it in a transparent glass that would give us the opportunity to see it. Says the Gemara. There was an individual that came from the Hador in front of Yehuda for the Torah, v'schayves medina, and this woman was a woman, and she lost the Torah. Amrlei Shmuel Rabbi Chacha Danan, the woman that lost, said to Rabbi Yehuda, "Is this the way your Rabbi Shmuel would have paskened?" Amrlei Datlei. So he asked her, "You knew my Rabbi Shmuel?" Amrlei In. Yes, of course I knew him. Gutza. She said he was a short person, Rabbi Kresei, and he was heavy. Ukam, he had a black complexion, Rabbi Shinei, and he had very big teeth. Amalei Levzuya Kasus, is the purpose of this conversation for you to embarrass my Rebbe? Tehevei Itza B'Shamta, you should put into Cherem and Pako Meis. We learned in our Mishnah that if somebody made a neder that he's not going to eat a tafshol, he's not allowed to eat anything that has a loose consistency, but he may eat food that has a thicker consistency. And we also learned that he's allowed to eat the Be'er Tormita. Ask the Gemara, my Be'er Tormita, exactly what is the Be'er Tormita? Amar Shmuel, Avda the Avdlei, the one that knows, the servant that knows how to prepare it, Shove Alpha Dinari, is worth 1,000 of dinarim. Umayle, the way that it's made, you put this egg, Alpha Zimda B'mayi Chamimi, 1,000 times it's put into hot water. Alpha Zimda B'mayi Kriri, and 1,000 times it's put into cold water. Add the Mezutra, until it shrinks, Kecha de Belisa, that you could swallow it without chewing it. Vim Is Kiva, if somebody has a stomach issue, Sarachalei, the disease gets connected to the egg. V'kanafka V'asya, and as the egg leaves the body of the person, Yoda. It leaves the body with the egg. Yoda Asya, my Simon Mitzvah. And when the doctor is able to see that egg with the disease that's attached to it, Yoda Asya, my Simon Mitzvah, what is the proper medicine to give him? When my Mitzvah, hi, who will have a refu shleima. Shmuel, have a badik nafshe. Shmuel would examine himself, be kulcha. He did not know how to make the Be'er Tormita, but he took this kulcha, add the master instrument Eli Sarayim, when he would eat this kulcha, he would clear out his stomach, and he would be in terrible pain, and his family would tear out their hair watching their father, their husband, suffering this way. Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechta Maestros teaches us, Hayo Oysa B'Kuflosin, the halacha is that the Torah teaches us that when somebody kisava b'kerem reyacha, if you're working in your friend's vineyard, v'chalta anofim k'nafshich svacha, you're allowed to eat whatever you want. So says the Mishnah in Masechta the Maestris. If somebody was working with kulfosim, it's a type of fig, layoichel bebnai seva. He's not allowed to eat with a different type of fig. The fact that he's working with one type of fig, only with what I'm actually working may I eat, not something else. Bebnai seva, if I'm working bebnai seva, layoichel bekulfosim. My kulfosim. Ask the Gemara, what are kulfosim? Meaning the ta'ena de avda mina lapidi. It's a type of fig that they made this type of food from it. Somebody gave his servant to his friend, Lagmure Alpha Mina Lapide, to teach him how to prepare 1,000 different variations of this food, Lafade. Agmure, and he was only able to teach him Tamni Meya, 800 versions. Asmin Ladina, so he called him to the Dentara. We contracted for 1,000. As the Daniel Kame de Rebbe, Amar Rebbe, Avasenu Amru Nishinu Toiva. Our forefathers have told us that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, we've forgotten so many good things. Anu afilu b'nei reinu. We didn't know. We never had the experience of living such a life of such indulgence, where you can make so many different variations of this food. Says the Rebbe Avdle Halulu l'Shimon Rebbe. Rebbe made a wedding for his son Reb Shimon. Kosev abeis ganana. And he wrote at the entrance, 240,000 dinarim, nafka abeis gan denain, were spent to make this wedding. And I did not invite by kapara. Amalei, and kapara got upset why he invited so many people to the wedding, and me, and he was not invited. And as we're going to learn, the reason Rebbe didn't invite him was because Bar Kapara was a batchen. He would try to make people happy, and Rebbe didn't want to have to smile, and therefore he didn't want to have Bar Kapara at the wedding. Amalei, so he said to Rebbe, "Im lo'ivi ritzoina kach. If this is the way you treat people, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats people who do the wrong thing this way, lo'isi ritzoina lach kam v'kama, so certainly people who do the right thing should be rewarded." When Rebbe heard how he's reacting, Asmanei, so then he invited back Kapara. V'omer, lois ritzoyne b'olam azakach, if people who aren't doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of them in this world, and they become so wealthy, and they have so much in this world, l'olam haba, certainly the schar in olam haba, alach skam v'kama, will be so much greater. What happened here? Well, first he called him La'ivri Ritzoynoi, and then he called him La'isri Ritzoynoi. So the Shvus Yaakov explains that even though Rebbe, as we're going to learn in our coming shir, didn't ever want to be happy, by a wedding, that's a different situation. When we're participating in the wedding, where a new home is being built in Klal Yisrael, there everybody should be besimcha. The joy that a new family, a new home is being built in Klal Yisrael is so great that even people who normally don't want to be happy should be happy and participate in the simcha that we should all always participate in.